Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone. This is Paula Keoki. I am the host of the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers. Today, we have a first. We have somebody from outside of the United States. We have Datari Ladejo. So sorry. I was promised you I wasn't going to mess that up, but she is from Nigeria. Welcome. So Datari works with in personalizing B2B marketing in Africa. Which is evolving on templates and playbooks to reflect regional nuance, generational shifts, and digital innovation, which I would imagine is quite a big job because considering the size of Africa. So, Datari, you specialize in helping brands craft authentic B2B narratives for the African market. What makes the storytelling in this region different, and why is authenticity so critical for building trust and engagement?
Okay, so thank you very much. That's a very interesting question. And there's several ways that I can respond to this. So first of all, there's the storytelling element. So in Africa, in general, our stories have been passed down through generations because when you compare Africa to other parts of the Western world, for example, our stories have been what have preserved our culture, mm-hmm. with people coming in from other countries, settling there, and it becoming a melting pot. Our stories really preserve the narrative of who we are in Africa. So storytelling is very important to us. It's something whereby even growing up in an African household, there's story time. It's something that we're very familiar with. And in Africa as well, another thing that is very prevalent here are African proverbs. So knowledge, information, and key messages have always been passed on in Africa through stories. So those proverbs are not just sayings, they're teaching something. So what we see now with marketing, especially in a B2B context, is we're able to adapt storytelling to this new reality that we have in the digital economy and tell our stories to people in a way that resonates with them. Now, you also mentioned in your question about authenticity, and that takes me to another point, which is why I said there's several ways that we can look at this, because in Africa as well, for many years, and historically, culturally, we struggled to really own our culture as Africans, right? We looked to the Western world and looked to America or to the UK to shape our culture and our narrative. This is beyond the storytelling, which was preserving the bit of it that we had left. But for example, if you look at a comparative economy, which is the creative economy in Africa, yeah. Our movies, our music, our film, our art, at first, it was very much guided by Western culture, right? So yeah. You would see people in a Nigerian movie, for example, dressed like Jay-Z, right? Instead okay. of an African attire. We were very much heavily influenced by other cultures. So it got to a point where Africa became almost cool again, or it became relevant. It became something that the world was open to learning more about. I think that's with the rise of, first of all, the digital first approach, and the fact that I definitely think that there's been an increase post-COVID where the world really opened up. But I think that digital first approach really benefited that. And then also just the exportation of a lot of our culture through creatives. So through our musicians, through our artists, through our fashion. So that opened up the global stage to start paying attention to Africa and what we're doing there. So for us, that meant that we started to own our narrative and tell our stories way more authentically. Mm-hmm. Now, in Africa as well, because we've had a lot of people come in and settle, and certain African states have only been independent for less than a century, it was really important for us to be authentic in what we're speaking, because because we've had so many times where people are coming in and trying to shape our narrative for us, that authenticity is key to penetrate African markets right now. I think from a marketing perspective as well, just to give you a bit of context, I didn't grow up in Africa. I didn't live my, but I've always been an African, right? So I have more of a global perspective and a global mindset. And what I'm seeing from a marketing perspective is more international or more companies from the States or from South America or from Europe actually coming and partnering with local contacts, which is new. So they partner with people that understand the culture, understand the context, and understand the messaging, which is key. So whereas before we could have almost a one-size-fits-all approach to messaging, whereby Coca-Cola, let's say, or if that's more B2C, let's say a software company, for example, or an engineering company, they could be speaking in one language that appeals to everybody. And by language, I don't necessarily mean the beyond the English language. I mean in terms of the messaging. But now people are really looking into localization, and I think that is really impacting the way we do marketing in Africa. Sorry for the long-winded
No, it's
response.
excellent. But as big as Africa is, it seems like your job would be really having to educate on, is it lack of a better word, regionalization or the different countries in Africa. And so you have to have a knowledge base for each country, it would seem.
Absolutely. But I think one thing that, for example, African countries are very different. So even with myself, as I advise people, I partner with people all over the world to do marketing campaigns. When they want to understand an African context, I specialize mainly in Western Africa. One thing that I think that people don't always understand is that Africa is so diverse in that an African in Western Africa may find the culture in an Eastern African country completely wild and crazy to them and completely different. So what we tend to do is we also partner with specialists within the countries of Africa, so within the different regions on the continent, because we can no longer take this broad brush approach when it comes to marketing. Even recently this year, I launched an NGO, so a nonprofit. And it's focused on teaching African women digital literacy skills. So one of the strategies that we have in place to be able to scale our programs is to make sure that we're partnering with local stakeholders that understand the context in African countries that are beyond our sphere, which is mainly, I specialize mainly in West Africa and a couple of Eastern African countries. So I think for anybody looking to run B2B marketing campaigns with Africans or within or that can resonate with African people, that partnership is really important to make sure that you're getting the right context. Just the same way in, I like to compare the creative and the digital economy a lot because they're the two economies that are really booming at the moment in Africa. But just the same way in the creative economy, sometimes we watch movies, Hollywood movies, and we'll hear an African accent. And as an African from West Africa, you can hear it and be like, this isn't what we actually sound like. This is more like an East African accent. So that differentiation, if you think about how marketing is now resonating with people, when somebody hears something that they can tell that you've taken the effort to make it hyper personalized, and that's another trend that we're seeing now, this hyper personalization, it resonates with them. It moves them down the funnel and it ultimately impacts on purchasing decisions as well.
Which makes sense. And I think maybe there's been, particularly in this country, that they don't understand that or thought about it. Because even just you've been in the United States a lot, you look at the South versus the West Coast versus the East Coast. I lived in the South, very different the way you approach people there versus the West Coast. And so why would Africa be any different?
Yeah,
So, right?
absolutely.
But I could see where people think, well, Africa's Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that mindset is changing now and it's opening up a lot of new markets for companies that are in the States or around the world.
Well, Africa is being perceived as really up, majorly up and coming and the place to be. So
Yeah.
things are changing.
Yeah,
So they
exactly.
come to you for that expertise to get the hyper-personalization and the nuances of the different countries in West Africa so that they are speaking with authenticity and hopefully getting business from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the biggest shift you've seen in B2B buyers' behavior in Africa over the past year, and how have your strategies evolved to meet it?
Okay. So I think one of the biggest shifts that we've seen is the mobile adoption, which really the adoption of mobiles in Africa, we've seen it increase exponentially. From a B2B perspective, we have to make sure that our marketing materials, our assets that we're creating are digital first and most importantly, mobile first, because that's the way a lot of people consume content these days. If you think about a rural part of Africa, somebody there may not have access to a laptop, but they're more likely going to have access to a phone, even if it's a shared, within a community. So we have to make sure that we're optimizing, and one of our strategies has always been optimization of any of our campaigns or anything that we're creating to make sure that it's mobile first. So we're thinking about that before we even think from a wider perspective. I would say also as well, the rise of influencers, because I know that we've talked a lot about trust and authenticity. Now, on the flip side of trust, there's also been a lot of distrust in Africa, right? Because our spokespeople typically or historically have been politicians who have said a lot of things, made promises, not kept them. So the average African mind, and I hate saying African in this broad brush way, but I would say that it's a similar experience for this particular thing across many African countries. So the typical person in an African country may have a distrust towards marketing in general, right? Because they feel like brands or companies are just trying to get something from them, essentially. So one thing that we found is that these companies, the figureheads, because of the rise of things, for example, such as like money laundering and fraud, they've caused a lot of distrust within the continent as a whole. However, I would say that in the past decade or so, or perhaps even before that, that started to change with the rise of influencers. These are people that have naturally built communities online and that people genuinely trust. Now, the influencers in Africa, you can't compare it to other parts of the world because they're few and far in between. The genuinely successful ones, everybody these days wants to be an influencer, it seems, but the ones.
Including my nephews, they're
Oh
trying
goodness,
to
I can name it. A lot of people, especially the
them.
TikTok ones now, seem to be rising. So those influencers, before the hype arose, they were building these online communities. So when they endorse certain products, services, visions, companies, it adds that extra layer of trust because they know that it's not just the company saying it. With influencers now, we started off with the celebrity influencers. So the actresses, the actors, the singers who can also go to an award in ho an award show in Hollywood and be recognized. So those really big people. But now what we're seeing is a rise in the micro influencers, the macro influencers, the nano influencers. So people have almost, I feel like it's an evolution. It's a journey that we've been taking to the politicians, CEOs, and figureheads, down to the celebrities. And now, in our own African funnel, I'd say we're more closer to home and more closer to the people that have smaller communities, but stronger communities that literally ride so hard for them. If you promote anything within that community, the people have a lot of trust in those people. And those people are collaborating a lot with B2B companies now to get their messages across. Traditionally, influencer marketing was a very B2C thing in Africa. It was the food and beverage companies, telecoms companies, but now we're seeing a real rise in B2B marketing campaigns with influencers. So that I would say is another strategy that we're adopting as well.
That's good to hear, because also in the B2B influencer world, it's smaller than like the B2C. If you have somebody that even just has 5,000 people that they're influencing, that's pretty good size, 5, 10,000
Powerful.
for B2B. And build your name to be able to do that is awesome. And then you are accessing those people for some of your campaigns then. Excellent. And you see it moving the needle? You see it move the needle?
Absolutely, we do.
Okay.
Absolutely, we do. Especially in terms of awareness, right? So people actually becoming aware of certain products or certain new releases and things like that, we're seeing that it really helps a lot.
I think it's an awesome, interesting world, the influencer marketing.
It is.
So, are there any platforms, data signals, or content formats that consistently perform well in converting B2B buyers in the African markets that you would like to talk about?
I would say in terms of content formats, like I mentioned, because of the high mobile usage, I would say videos perform really well. But then when videos are being created, we have to also look at the infrastructural, do I want to say defects? I'll say infrastructural challenges that we have over there. So for example, bandwidth and things like that, and a lot of data platforms in Africa. It's not like a monthly subscription and you have unlimited access to the internet. You're paying like per gigabyte, right? So when we're doing this, we're focusing on short, snackable content to make sure that people are able to consume it, to make sure that they're able to understand it. Obviously, around the world, attention spans are definitely in the decline. We all know that people don't have enough time to wait 1 minute into your video to get your message. But even more so in Africa, because even if you're incredibly rich, right, spending per gig is it's a bit ridiculous. You find yourself topping up your phone over and over again. So you have to make sure that you're grabbing the audience's attention in the first 7 to 15 seconds every time. And we're seeing a rise in short snackable content in that way.
And when you say short, how long does that is that usually?
I would say 45 seconds max, which is pretty long, but that's for like maybe a longer video that would involve more storytelling. But really and truly, what we're seeing perform well are videos that are 7 to 15 seconds that are just a quick grab your attention and then push you or drive you with a CTA to inquire more.
Well, I must say you're highly knowledgeable about your space, and then also just your West Africa. Obviously, that's what you're focusing on. That's pretty amazing. And so I thought it was awesome to have you on today because we've just been US focused up till now. And I'm going to have somebody from Australia soon. The world
Oh,
has shrunk, right?
absolutely, absolutely.
Africa is just, you think about Africa in terms of that's where they say human being one came from. So the evolution of Africa to the rest of the world is. Has had a big influence on the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the fact I see it as almost a full circle moment. So I see it as, sorry, I see it almost as a full circle moment. So I see it as it started off in Africa and now it's coming back to Africa. And we as Africans are so proud of that
You should
fact.
be. You
And
should
we're
be.
happy to collect, thank you. And
Yeah.
we're happy to be collaborating more. Like, for example, even you inviting me onto this podcast. It's a symbol of curiosity, wanting to
Yes.
know. And I think that's what we've been looking for. The more people know and they're curious, the more they'll learn and be more precise in their messaging for Africans. So, yeah, we're really excited about
I was very curious to learn your story and what you offer. And so if somebody's interested in understanding how to do business in West Africa and how to be, create a brand there, how do they get a hold of you, Tatari?
Okay, I actually run a group of agencies, Fernhill Digital Group, and you can contact us hello@fernhilldigital.com or myself, d.ladiger.com. We're also all over the social media platforms, so Fernhill Digital on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and yeah, please do reach out. If you're looking for a local contact to be able to understand the African market, I'm always happy to connect and to consult on those kind of things. So yeah, myself or Fernhill.
And I'm going to, for the audience, spell Fernhill. It's Fernhil.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's the
Great.
same as a fern. So fernhill.com. So fre
Great.
sorry, fernhilldigital.com.
Okay.
If you want to reach out to us, you can send an email to hello@fernhilldigital.com, or you can follow either any of our social media pages, Fernhill Digital. We also have Evergreen Creators or myself, Datari Ladejo, and that's DATARI. LADEJO. So,
Thank
yeah.
you so much, Natalia. I appreciate you taking the time out of your world traveling schedule to spend some
Thank
time with us today.
you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. It's been fantastic speaking with you.
Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.